been a part of, and so it's likely that many of you probably haven't been a part of something like this either. Who get the lights, Joey? Thank you. This morning, we're going to read through an entire book of the Bible as a community of believers. Now, some of you may have, at some point in your walk, read through an entire book of the Bible, and that's great, but there are probably many of us who haven't even done that. Even if you're on a reading plan, oftentimes the reading plans kind of divide it up, even individual books. And so let me pose a question before we dive in. When we approach Scripture and pull verses and preach on it for 40 minutes, and there's nothing wrong with that, clearly. I did it for 8 weeks. There's nothing wrong with that by any means. But what do we miss in the whole book that we are pulling the Scriptures from when we simply look at a few verses at a time? We're missing a lot of the larger picture that the author is giving us. I heard the analogy a couple months ago as I was listening to a podcast, and they brought this idea up. They said, you don't go watch 10 minutes of a movie and then talk about it for 40 minutes. It wouldn't make any sense if you're just pulling 10 minutes out of a movie and watching it. Now, again, like I said, I don't have a problem with preaching that way. It's a good way to do it, but we're missing the larger picture of what the author is trying to present to us this morning, or as we read through these books. And what's unique about what we're going to do this morning as we read through a book of the Bible? This is going to be how the very first audience would have received this book of the Bible. They would have received the letter from whoever had written it, and they would have stood up as a group of believers, and someone would have read the message for them from the letter from whoever they received it from. So it's just cool. We're going to be engaging the text in the way the very first people who received the text would have engaged the text. So the book we'll be reading this morning will be Philippians. But Caleb, we literally just went through Philippians. You preached on it. How could you forget? Yes, I know. But maybe as we have now been a couple weeks of off from Philippians, maybe there was something as we were originally going through it that you felt challenged by or encouraged by. And maybe you need an encouragement or reminder of some of those things this morning. There's a saying that says repetition is the mother of learning. So I don't feel too bad about going through Philippians again. So if you have your Bibles and you would like to turn to Philippians, I would encourage you to. But if you just want to sit and soak in what is being read, I would also encourage that, because that's even closer to how the original hearers would have heard this message. So before we start reading the Bible in the book of Philippians this morning, let's pray as we begin. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that we are able to gather, and we're able to read your word. King, I pray that as we reapproach this text, that you will continue to encourage and remind us of things that we learned previously, or maybe something new this time as we go through it again. Thank you, Jesus. We pray these things in your name and in your blood. Amen. So, if you have your Bibles and would like to follow along, we'll be in Philippians 1. Unique times call for unique things. So we're doing something unique this morning. So, starting in chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for remembering you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and what may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that come through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of evil and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do it in love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition and not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motive or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I have no way to be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that you, through my being with you again and your joy in Christ, will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come to you or hear only about you in my absence, or I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who opposed you. For this is a sign to them of their destruction, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on the behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I am still having. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort in his love, any fellowship with the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same of that of Christ Jesus, who being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do nothing without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ, that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So too you should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may also be cheered when I receive the news about you. I have no one else like him. He who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, but not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. And I hope therefore to send him to you soon as I see how things are going with me. And I myself am confident in the Lord that I myself will come too soon. But I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker, fellow soldier, who is your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you, and this distresses him because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was very ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that you may see him again and be glad, and that I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we, the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrew, in regards to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything compared to the surpassing greatness and knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through him, through Christ, the righteousness that can come from God and is by faith. I want you to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me, heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take a view on such things, and on some points that you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they too will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Iodica and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal folk, yoke folk, that these women should have contend at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable,
If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that you at last have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you've had no opportunity to show it. And I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have been content in whatever circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid and again, then when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm only looking for what may be credited to your account. I've received full payment and even more, and I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable gift pleasing to God. And my God will meet your needs according to the glory and riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send their greeting. All of the saints send you greeting, especially those in Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let us pray as we respond to the word. King, thank you. Thank you for the book of Philippians, for the reminder that it is to rejoice in your name, to rejoice for your honor, and to rejoice for your praise. King, as we enter in a time of worship now, I pray that we can respond to this, that you will encourage us, you will challenge us, so that we can live your gospel truth in the world, a world that so desperately needs your gospel, so desperately needs your love, Jesus. I praise things in your name, in your blood. Amen.